Hello, Legacy fans. We are so excited because I think this was the best episode of the season thus far. We cannot wait to see what you guys have to say about this crazy, amazing episode giving us very Vampire Diaries vibes. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Legacies After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we're going to be breaking down Season 1, Episode 13, titled "The Boy Still Has a Lot of Good to Do," and that he does. Tonight, we are going to be talking about MG and his really crappy family, and Landon and his annoying, yet tragic, yet heroic ending, and possibly new beginning, and a whole lot of Caleb and a whole lot of hope. I loved it so much. I'm Sam Davidson, and I am joined by my two amazing co-hosts, the first time we've all been in the same room together.
Yes, yeah. All right. I'm Joshua Wright.
And I'm Alexis Moselle.
And Alexis is in the live chat. Sorry, we're a little bit late. Mercury is in retrograde, and I think that it's an okay excuse to use for this show because, you know, it's magic. So
yes.
We're working on it. Overall thoughts?
Well, first of all, I like how they finally tapped into the background of MG, and we understand why it's been so difficult for him during the holidays.
Yeah.
I love this episode. It was a lot going on. I have to agree with you on the background of MG. I feel like we don't get a lot of background on all the other students besides, like, Hope and the twins. Mm-hmm. So I like that they touched on that. And then the whole scene with Landon dying and coming back, it was just, it was really good. I really liked this episode. Yeah.
Yes, and it was one of the most, I think, epic episodes in the history of Julie Plec, the Vampire Diaries, the originals. I mean, this was real. I'm a little bit sad that we only have three episodes left now and that it took so long to get there. You know, the monster of the week sometimes just isn't doing it for me. Mm-hmm. And maybe we've kind of come to a catapult this week because we knew the monster of a week in a way. And I hope we can get rid of that, quite honestly, just because I think it's sometimes it's distracting. Mm-hmm. And I loved seeing more about the actual characters.
Yes. Character development is very important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start off talking about how they come back after the mummy situation last week, and MG is gone, Landon is gone, and Raphael was gone at first, and then they find him. Mm-hmm. He had turned, and it seemed as though he possibly could have killed MG and Landon because Hope couldn't locate them with her witchery. Did you think he actually did?
No, I didn't. I did find that it was ironic that Penelope put a cloaking spell on them, you know, before they left. Which is why Hope had a problem, you know, finding them.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, Hope usually, from what I've seen in the season, Hope usually doesn't have a problem with solving issues. So when that happened, you know, there's Penelope again.
Of course.
Where has she been?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Causing trouble.
Yeah, we hear about her. We don't see her, but, you know, we hear about her.
She's in the shadows.
Yeah, and I honestly have to agree with you. I didn't think that Landon did anything. But then I was kind of suspicious. Raphael did anything, but I was kind of suspicious because, I mean, they were just missing. And then, you know, they find Raphael, and he doesn't know what happened. So, I mean, I was hoping that he didn't have anything to do with it, which, you know, but, yeah, I mean, it was like kind of, I was 50-50 on it. I kind of thought he had something to do in it. Then I was like, no, he doesn't. So it was like 50-50 for me on my end, I think.
So next we have the whole Emma dynamic come in. Which at the beginning seems like a big storyline for the episode, but then you're like, psh, Emma, just sit down, please. We can't deal with your guidance counseling for the supernatural. Yeah. Right. But I mean, I do feel it is important. Mm-hmm. Think about all these kids that have these powers and how many psychological issues they must have.
Yeah, she helps keep them suppressed. You know, sometimes we noticed in the beginning of the season how Caleb wanted to feast on humans, and he couldn't do that. With the counseling of Dr. Emma, it's like she understands that the kids are going through different scenarios in their lives. Mm-hmm. So even though they're supernaturals, it doesn't mean that she's detached from what they may be going through because they still have a human side to them.
Yeah. That's true. I have to agree. She did kind of make me upset, though, that she wouldn't, like, let Hope do what she needed to do to figure out where.
Yeah, she was blocking.
Yeah, she was blocking. But, I mean, I get it from her standpoint, but then I was like, come on, like, he knows something, and she has a way to get him to talk, so why not let her do it?
Well, when you think about a murder suspect, by chance, that is mentally ill, and you have a psychiatrist, I believe, come in, and they talk to them and they break through with the patient. if there's someone missing that could be dead or that could be found alive, it is that person's duty, the doctor's duty, to get the information from that person. Because, yes, it's a doctor-patient confidentiality until you are harmed or have harmed someone else or could be in, like, harm yourself.
Yeah.
I have someone in the chat, Carlos Hernandez. What's up, Carlos? Says he feels having Emma being a counselor seems ridiculous considering they aren't regular teens.
But they kind of are in a sense.
Well, that's what I like about her because, but she needs to be a certain kind of counselor.
Yeah. Right.
That can balance both things. Like Hope did tonight, which we will get into later, because you have to put the better good ahead sometimes of a personal choice.
That's true. Maybe Emma is not good enough with tapping into the supernatural side. Maybe she's still looking at them too much from the human eyes.
And is she completely 100% human? I forget.
We don't know. She said a lot of things, and she's meshed with a lot of them in a way where it does seem like she does have more than just the human side.
Well, a couple weeks ago when there was the episode with the slug. I was like, there's something more to Emma. I don't trust her.
Yeah, you
we
did
talked
say
about
that
last week.
Yeah,
too.
We did. Yeah, we brought it up.
We think she on the bad side.
I don't know, Emma. she's something. Emma is something. I don't know if I have the same questions about her that I had about Landon. Okay. But there are some questions looming about Emma.
Well, because we don't know her past at all.
No, nothing yet.
So hopefully we'll get some more of that. And Hope and Emma kind of have this argument where Hope says she wants to give this elixir from the crescent moon, which was her mother's pack. What do you say?
Ivan Soto. What's up, Ivan? How you doing? Ivan says that Emma is a witch.
Okay. I believe that.
Okay.
Maybe manipulating some things. But Hope wants to give this elixir to Raphael because it can show what happened, his memories during when he was wolf and when he was human. And she doesn't want her to do it, and then Raphael gets up from his little slumber, you know, stabs her with some sedatives, and he wants to know the truth as well. And at first I was annoyed with Hope.
Why?
I don't know. I was pissed off because I thought, you know, oh, he's been through so much. If these two boys weren't confirmed dead, or the thing is, like, they could have been, like, dying in the woods, like MG actually was.
Yeah, that's true,
exactly.
Yeah.
But at first I thought, well, you know, let the kid take a sleep and wake up. But again, this is a different world.
Definitely.
Yes. So we'd love to hear what you guys think about these very interesting dynamics, because, I mean, they relate to real life, too, even though we're not supernatural. I completely agree. But before we get to our next topic, we have some other stuff going on at AfterBuzz that we'd like to share with you all.
Yeah, so, hey, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just want to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. You can also find us on Spotify. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us in doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows. That was definitely a tongue twister today.
It's all right.
Mercury in retrograde, what can we say? But we do all do a lot of other awesome shows here, and they all have a similar vibe. You know, I guess we have something with the supernatural.
Yes, we love the supernatural.
We do. I love flashbacks.
Yes.
And I just love it as a device. A lot of TV writers often say it's kind of a lazy way of storytelling, and I disagree.
I think it's
a fantastic way of storytelling.
Yeah.
Because you feel as though you're getting in the character's mind.
Yeah, it gives you insight. It helps you understand the psyche of the character. It helps you understand how they arrived where they are currently. Mm-hmm. Things start to happen. MG is a great example, how he arrived at the school. Mm-hmm. His relationship with his mother is a strained relationship due to her keeping his identity away from his father.
Yeah.
So it is important to know that background.
And it just makes me so sad. These kids' spring breaks are, you know, going into bunkers.
Yes.
And cabins. And it's, you know, let's take them to some kind of supernatural Cabo San Lucas.
That's fun. No, I agree.
I don't know. I think it'd be a little too wild.
Well, I know, but it's like, there's, you know, it's everyone's supernatural. They can't really, but they can kill each other, as we can see tonight.
Things get a little wild.
But, so this is an MG episode. And MG has been one of my favorite characters since the first episode. I really, really like him, and he comes from a very heartbreaking background. So basically when Hope gives Raphael the elixir, we get to see what really happened, which was MG wanted deep down to, I guess, go back to see his family who mm-hmm. turned him away. What happened to Landon is terrible, and I think it obviously has a bigger purpose, but he was not... It was not nice what he did to MG.
To MG? Yeah. No.
He kind of forced it on him to find out, you know, and to not confront his parents, but, you know, go see his parents. He did kind of push it on him. So I can understand why MG was upset. I can see in the sense of why he was upset after he finds out how his father feels about him, but then he finds out that his father didn't really even know that he was still alive.
Yes. Right. That's really bad. That she kept that from him and didn't give him the opportunity to have an emotion about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to find out about it. He found out about everything at one time while he was practicing his sermon.
Well, let's backtrack a minute. So, first of all, they go to the hometown. They, Landon, MG, and Raphael, and they see his mother, who at first seems like she's the good one,
yeah.
you know, and that the dad is the bad one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's running for mayor, and he says that she says that he knows about him.
Yes.
But is just a religious man, doesn't want anything to do with it. Very sad. And so then they go while he's practicing his sermon, mm-hmm. and it's very heartbreaking seeing him come in because he literally thinks he was a gift from God. He wants to take him to the diner, show him off, and then, I mean, MG too, you know, give him a little prick. Just tell him you're a vampire.
Yeah.
Just do something else. Don't put your... I thought he was going to kill his dad, and I think they wanted us to think he was going to kill his dad, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to kill his dad. I do want to bring this up, and I'll get back to the point. Ivan points out that Hope and Landon are 17, so they should eventually graduate at some point. So they'll be seniors. You know, how's that going to affect them being at the school?
Well, they need... You know? The thing is, again, this is real world versus a supernatural world. How long is an education for a supernatural...
That's true.
...teenager? Because I don't think it's just high school. I don't think they go to college next.
No,
it's a lifestyle that they have to learn.
Yeah, I think they stay there for... I mean, honestly, because a lot of them are vampires, so they're never going to age.
That's true.
And they'll be teenagers forever. I mean, I thought about that when it started. I was like, well, how do we know how long they'll have been there for?
Yeah, that's true, too. That's a good point.
But... Yes, the whole MG thing, he compels his father to believe that he never saw him. His father calls him a demon, and he runs off, and it's just...
Wasn't that terrible? His dad just castigating him like that, calling him a demon, and I understand it's something that you don't... it's something that you're not used to,
mm-hmm.
but just to defame him and just talk about him and make him seem like he's a bad person, especially when he's making a point to learn. The reason he's at the school is to learn how to be a better person, how to be a better vampire, how to control his powers and his urges. And his father didn't even give him the opportunity to express that. He just began to call him demon right away.
Well, my question is, I see a lot of people mentioning this in the chat as well. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions.
Go ahead.
How did MG moms know about the Salvatore School?
Mm-hmm.
And why is she so acceptive of him being a vampire? Like, did that kind of seem a little weird to you guys that she just was... I mean, I get it, she was hiding from the dad. But
she was calm about it.
Yeah, she was kind of calm about it. And how does she even know how to find Dr. S in the Salvatore School? Like, that part of the story kind of has me like, you know, and I see some people mentioning that in the chat.
They're thinking she may be a vampire.
I don't know. That little situation was very weird to me.
That would be interesting if she was a vampire.
Right, because how does she... Think about it. Like, normal... How would you know that there's a school for special kids like that? And why are you so, you know, seeing the dad's reaction, how is the mom just so okay with him being a vampire? And, you know, he mentioned that his mom, he talks to his mom all the time.
Yeah, he does.
So, you know, that storyline had me wondering, like, well, how does she know? Is she supernatural of some sort? And
she does care because she was a biatch, mm-hmm. but also said, you need to find my son.
Yeah.
It was important to her, not like, I don't care what happens to him.
Yeah, it was an arrangement. And as Ivan points out, how Landon called her out when she began to question her husband's beliefs, saying that, you know, he doesn't prefer people who rise from the dead. And Landon says, well, what about Jesus and Lazarus? Mm-hmm. In those situations, she didn't have a response because she possibly could be a vampire as well. We don't know.
I like that. I didn't think about that while I was watching the episode, but I can totally see that now. And I just got to give a shout out to Caleb. He was one of my least favorite characters at the beginning of the season, and now is by far one of my favorite characters.
He's done a 180 so much. Like, bruh. He's turned into, like, this mature. It's like the student became the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everything, the way I'm looking at Caleb, everything he was, he's starting to see in MG.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he knows how to guide him because he was once that kid.
Yeah.
Especially after Rick came to him a few episodes ago and said, hey, he's impressionable. You can't teach him these things. He's not ready for this. He's immature.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of goes back to a question. How old are I always took everyone at face value as far as they were teenagers and they were just turned into whatever they were. But, I mean, is it possible some of them are a lot older than we thought they were?
That could be possible.
That's true.
That could be possible.
I want to point this out as we're talking about Caleb and we're talking about MG and his mother. Yontrell George, what's up, Yontrell? I don't believe I've seen you in the chat, so hello. Says, I think Alaric found MG when he became a vampire and then explained everything to MG's mom.
But still, I mean, it's a show, but like she's still very, like, accepting to it. You know, like,
She's not afraid.
She's not afraid, which is, like, that's kind of weird in a sense.
Well, I also see that some people are saying maybe they got turned at the same time, possibly. I don't know, though. There definitely is something with her. Maybe she's a witch, you know.
Yeah, she's something.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Would not be surprised, because everyone's something in this show.
Yes.
Including all of us. we'll tell you what we'll be later.
Okay. I'll say, Ivan points out that Hope did create the magical compass. So Rick could go to the parents and explain to them, you know, what's going on with the children.
Oh, yes.
So that's a really good point. Thanks, Ivan.
Man, yeah. I've known you for years at this point. Vampire Diary days, originals. You're right. You're so right. Thank you so much. Okay, so next we have this saddest scene. I have one of the saddest scenes I've ever seen is that after MG gets rejected by his father and, you know, they didn't get back to school in time. It's a full moon.
Yep.
Raphael is turning. Landon should... I hope, if anything, this has taught Landon to maybe take a step back. However, now he's some supernatural being, which we will get into, obviously. But, I mean, I hope, like, he thought to himself, damn, should have listened to the werewolf and the vampire. Yes.
Maybe. I think that Landon's issue was that he tried to control MG's emotions. He was vicarious with the way he treated MG. And I felt like that's where his mistake was. Instead of understanding that MG was different from him, or he should go back to learn about his heritage, he tried to projected that on MG. So, to me, that's where the disconnect is with Landon. He didn't understand that. He took his human side and he applied it to MG's human side, as Emma did earlier, when he should have applied it to the supernatural side and said, I should take a step back before I even take MG back home.
Well, and then there's also an aspect that we cannot forget, which is going to definitely be an issue. Mm-hmm. I see it's the Damon, Stefan, and Elena of it all, Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. So as Landon is helping Raphael shack up, you know, to not kill anyone when he turns, he is being such... It was so inappropriate as he's literally throws a key away.
Yeah.
And as he's handcuffing him, telling him, you know why I'm really angry with you, and it's because he thinks he has feelings for Hope because of the slug in the brain 2 weeks ago.
I mean, that's a really intuitive comment about your best friend, though.
Yeah, but, like, maybe have a coffee or a beer where neither of you are chained. It's really manipulative.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, not saying he deserved to be, you know... Like, just eaten by
MG. He didn't deserve to be, beaten by MG, but...
Eaten
by MG, but... I don't know. This is how I feel about it. I don't know if Landon was wrong for confronting Roth at the time when he did, because he gave him all these opportunities to say something. So sometimes when you give someone... If I give Alexis an opportunity to tell me something and it's been weeks and she hasn't, at some point I'm going to have to go to her and say, look, Alexis, I know that you don't like my yellow cup. You know, so instead of allow her, you know, the elephant in the room.
But there's a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah, like that one, it's a full moon. I don't think that was the perfect time for him to bring it up.
All right.
Yeah. Could have waited a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I think so. You know, everyone loves hope, including, you know, Josie, which we saw last week. Interesting twist. Just had to throw that out.
Yeah, Josie was, I don't know now. She kind of owns something.
Everybody loves hope.
Yes.
And I do.
Why?
Too.
Why? Why does everybody like Hope?
You know,
she's likable.
Is she?
It's interesting because so you haven't like watched that much of the past series, and I guess it's just because Hope was built up for us even before she was born in the originals. And there is a lot of stuff about Hope that I don't particularly enjoy, but she's kind of that tortured girl that is always sad, and she doesn't understand why she's so fantastic, but she is, and everyone hates her for it, which like makes her life even more miserable than it already is.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
That's a good way to put
it. I mean, we'll see. I don't like or dislike Hope. I just question why everyone is drawn to her. I mean, she knows a lot. I know she's special.
She's mysterious, I
guess. She is mysterious. But there are other times where, Jana writes, hey, Jana Wright, she says that she's mysterious. So, I mean, I do agree that Hope is mysterious, but I want a concrete answer as to what is it that draws people to Hope. Lizzie doesn't like Hope. You know, she doesn't like Hope. She thought Hope was there to take her father.
Because she wants to be Hope.
Okay, that's a good answer. Or could Hope be the type of person where she doesn't realize that her innocence is actually making her guilty? Like, I've been around people who are very nice and kind, and they're very... I'm from the South, so all the men are gentlemen. They open the door, they pull out your chairs. And I've been around men who do that for certain women, and other men are jealous of that guy, but he's not trying to be forward. He's just like that. Yeah. Maybe Hope is that type of person where she's just that type, you know, and she's not aware that she's offending others.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, when you've been to hell and back, almost quite literally, she, like, this girl has been through so much stuff, and she's probably going to live a very long time. It's just the start of her crazy, crazy life. But again, you know, it's not always fun to watch dark, sad, mysterious Hope. But I do understand, but we also need to kind of, girl's been through hell. Let's talk about the actual part where MG kills, just kills Landon.
Devours him.
I didn't expect that. I didn't expect
and
that at all.
Shout out to Paul Wesley, who, Stefan Salvatore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From The Vampire Diaries, and he directed this episode. We'll get into a little bit of that in news and gossip, but he was a ripper on The Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. That was his big Achilles heel, so I think it was really cool and beautiful that he directed this episode. I'm sure he was very involved in this scene.
Very.
You know, with MG, I can't get, and he has nothing to live for, and so he's like, well, when I was Stefan, you know, I tapped into the fact that I was all alone in this world, and I didn't give a crap at all, and I love that, and MG, oh my god, the actor did such an amazing
job.
Yeah, he did. He really stepped it up this week.
And then finding Landon's dead body, wow.
Well, I do want to say that Ivan points out seeing Landon dead destroyed me.
Yeah, I thought he was gone for good. Like, for good. Like, the whole, you know, the lead up to him, you know, we seeing him not being dead. Yeah, I thought he was gone. But I was like, well, what's going to happen now? I thought, honestly, I also, even though I shouldn't do this, I was rooting. I was like, okay, well, now Hope and Ralph can get together.
Oh, look at you. Hating.
I was like, embrace.
I was like, yes. Yes.
So are y'all trying to put them together?
Yes. I want them together.
Me too.
Oh, I was like, yes, he's gone. This is gonna bring them closer.
But they're both broken.
That's good. They get
it's her type.
Ooh. I don't know, bro.
I actually, I was about to say I skipped over something. And I was like, what did I skip over? it's, of course, MG and Caleb and the beautiful moments that they are having together that he is just, you know, his boy. And that Hope just didn't take her long to figure out she needed to give MG her blood. And she, I thought that she was going to be petty about it.
No.
Selfless. That was very selfless of her to do that.
But it was selfless.
I didn't expect that.
And that's unlike Klaus, her father.
Oh, yes.
Her father would have ripped off everybody's head if they killed his love.
No, seriously.
And he would have done terrible things to their families, too.
Yeah.
But Hope sucked it up, and then she gave the blood to heal MG. And I was just worried about MG, too. I felt so sad for him.
Yeah.
I almost felt worse for him than Landon.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, being rejected from your family, whom you love, is a big deal. And he tried his hardest to just get back, but he couldn't. So he had to take his anger out on someone.
And he's a ripper. So the thing about rippers is that, like, they can't stop. And that's where Stefan Salvatore is the same kind of character. And he just couldn't stop. He just wanted to beat him up. And it was, oh, God, Raphael chained to the tree. Anyways, we see everyone crowds around his dead body. So freaking sad. And then next thing you know, his body starts to have smoke come off of it. Looks like it's burning. Then it completely goes in flames. And I have in my notes, in capital letters, before it even happened, Landon is a phoenix rising from the ashes.
That's right.
10 exclamation marks.
And it happened.
And he did. And it, I was like, wait, is he, what is he turning into? Is this stone? No, it's ashes. And that was, oh my God. I will say, I have the chills talking about it right now. One of Julie Plex as a, you know, showrunner, one of her best moments on any of the three series. That was so cool. I'm sad it took till episode 13 for this to happen to figure out what the hell he is. And now we only have three left. But I really like where this is going. What did you guys think?
I think it was good. It's not, we're finally getting answers to Landon. We knew he was something because he couldn't be compelled. And he was, when he stole the knife, remember, he couldn't remember how it happened. So we, and then also, so it's just good to see that Landon finally has found, you know, we finally found out what he is. And it's interesting to see how they're going to write him in, what his parts are going to be. Like, how is he going to affect the Salvatore school?
And I'm interested to learn more about him.
Yeah, did you, know? You look up, because I know a phoenix is just, it's kind of a saying, you know, it's when you're doing really crappy, you think you couldn't do worse, but guess what, bitches, you just rise from the ashes and you show them what you're made of. But other than that, I'm really kind of unclear about what a phoenix does.
No, one of the main words I saw, it said renewed. That's one of the first things. So renewed means to be like you're remade. So that means that you're brand new. You're able to I guess build up to kill anything that comes in your way. You're more powerful. You have a more dynamic, you know, disposition. So I looked it up. That's what I found it to be. So he's going to be the antithesis of who he was before he passed away.
But then he also has the connection to
the Malivore.
Yeah, the Malivore. Yes.
So what is?
What is that?
What is that? Like, how does that? And guys, this is where we love you and need you right now in the chat.
Yeah, that's, I mean, they're letting us know. Ivan's letting us know Phoenix can die and come back. That's pretty much it.
Is it just one time? How many lives does he have? Is he a cat? No, he's not a cat. I'm just kidding.
Do you think he's going to remember what happened? Because he stood up and he was like, what's going on? Do you think he's going to, like, have any memory to what took place before, you know, he died?
Because
he
did. I don't know. I don't know how long.
I think he should. I think that will help fuel him.
I'm just really happy for MG that he's not dead.
I know.
To be honest, I like Landon and Hope, but they're not the Stefan and Elena to me.
No.
They're just not. They're just not. And I also thought that Hope's, you know, she's so devastated, and I get it. But they haven't known each other for a super long time, and I don't think that... But now, after this, they've been through something.
Yeah.
They've all actually been through something to bond them. Whereas before, it's like, let's fight a gargoyle. Let's fight a mummy. And I want more of the personal relationships and their own powers instead of a big monster.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, it is good to see their powers starting to come alive. I have Jana Wright put... does Malivore represent the ashes?
I don't know. We have a lot to learn. And, you know, I'm sure if you Google Malivore, it'll tell us a lot of things. I'm not quite sure what it does. So in the comments, you guys, when you watch this later, listen, please give us some, you know, folklore of all of these things. Because
there's a lot going on.
There's so much going on. That wraps it up for the recap of this episode. But we have a lot more stuff to tell you guys. Next, we have our special segment, which is Fiercest Moment of the Week. All right. Who wants to start?
I will.
All right.
Man, this is a tough... You know what? Actually, I'm going to go with Caleb. That's what I'm going to go with this week. I went with him, I think, last week, too. I don't know. I have to agree with you. I didn't really like his character at the beginning, but he started to grow on me, and I like how they're showing him evolving and being mature and, like, being, like, I guess a role model for MG. So I just love what they're doing with his character. I didn't expect his character to be, his role to be what it was when we first started watching the show. So I'm going to go with him for my fiercest moment. The car scene I really love when he was talking to MG. So that's my fiercest moment for the week.
I don't know. I've been in a dilemma for the past like 20 minutes thinking about this. So I'll say my fiercest moment is going to be a tie between Raphael and Hope, which is ironic. Y'all want her to be with that chocolate, okay? But well, the reason I say Raphael is because he did take the lead in the beginning and he did sedate Dr. Emma. Okay. You know, and that's ultimately led to them finding the part of the woods where they were. But then I have to say Hope, because she put her differences aside to save MG. Yeah. So it's like Raphael won, and then Hope is like A.
Yeah. Mine, I mean, we gotta give one. I have two. So we gotta give one to Landon, whatever the heck he is. I mean, that was fierce AF. He just rose from the ashes like a phoenix, because he is one. But it was cool, and they just popped out. And you could tell he just almost looked like happier and lighter. It's like, what's going on, guys?
He's just jovial and, hey, what's up?
That was obviously very fierce. I also thought, I mean, how terrified Alaric must be at all times.
Oh, yes.
These kids are murdering each other. He's trying to help, but he's also human and could be murdered at any moment. So just honorable mention to Alaric this episode for trying to save these kids that could murder him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, I will say that Ivan is in cahoots with the Landon and Hope relationship. He says that Landon makes Hope happy and smile, and that's why he loves their relationship.
Yeah, it's like Delana. So that's just my opinion. On that note, let's get into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So for the first photo, we have a picture of, for next week's episode, Miss Mystic Falls, we have a picture of Hope, which I'm assuming she's going to be running for Miss Mystic Falls. She has this like cute little blue dress on. And then the second photo, we have a picture of, I think it's Josie and Emma, it looks like. Is that Emma?
Oh, no.
That's Penelope.
That's Penelope.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, that's going to be her date. Wow.
Yeah. We finally get Penelope back. That's exciting.
Yeah. So I guess that she's going to be running for Miss Mystic Falls as well. Interesting. I wonder who's going to win. I want to, you know, want to see that. And then the last picture we have is of Stefan from him. You know, he directed, Wesley directed this episode. So just a little quote, Entertainment TV did an interview with him, and he stated, "As a director, it was still a new experience for me. I was directing a whole new set of actors. The scripts have a different tone," Wesley says, "but obviously there are similarities. We were in the Salvatore Great Room, and that was totally trippy. I was having weird flashbacks. Vampire Diaries ended 2 years ago, and I felt like it had ended 3 decades ago when I stepped in there. All these weird memories started coming back. I was like, oh my God, I remember when I sat here and I did this scene, and I remember talking to Ian about this. Everything came rushing in, and then it just passed, and I moved on. But for a minute there, I had this flood of memories. It was very unusual."
Well, it wasn't 10 years ago. I'm like, it was yesterday in my mind. Please.
Yes.
Jeez, Paul. But amazing job that he did.
He did.
Yes. And again, guys, he directed this episode.
Which is so cool.
And he's done Shadowhunters. I think he did an episode of The Originals and, of course, Vampire Diaries. He's a very good director.
And Roswell, too. The new show he directed, I think that, I don't know when it airs, but he directed their latest episode, too.
Love it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, that's so cool.
Well, let's get into some predictions for next week.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Prediction.
All right, but you're going to start us off with that.
Well, first, I want to see the drama that unfolds with Hope and Lizzie during this gala.
You know,
something's going to happen. Lizzie, she tried to turn over a new leaf, and she just said, you know what? This is what y'all want me to be. I'm going to be this person. So I want to see what happens with her and Hope. I also want to see what happens with Landon and Raphael, if there's going to be any looming drama from the conversation that they had in the woods.
Oh, there will be.
Yeah.
I have to agree. I want to see what Lizzie and what their little situation is going to be, Lizzie and Hope. I just think Lizzie just doesn't like Hope, even though she finds out that Hope didn't start that fire. I just think she doesn't really like her. And then I want to see what Penelope and Josie have going on. Like, why are they going to the dance together? I'm trying to still figure that out.
I don't know.
And then more so, I'm interested to learn more about Landon and if he remembers anything that happened and how is he going to feel towards MG. Like, I really want to dive into that. So I'm hoping they, like, touch on all that in the next episode.
So for me, Miss Mystic Falls season one of the Vampire Diaries, I'm that like old vampire that just comes around and brings back the old books. But that was one of my favorite episodes, and it's basically Caroline and Elena are competing. Elena doesn't really want anything about, she doesn't want to be crowned. And she also has a love triangle going on between her and Stefan and Damon. And I have the feeling that there's going to be dances with Hope. Hope is the Elena. Hope is going to be dancing with both Raphael and Landon.
That's
and
a good point.
She's going to feel a lot of chemistry. I have my TV chills, my psychic TV chills. It's a thing I do on all my shows. And so, you know, it's happening. But I think that the writers, though, too, are going to know that we're expecting this and they're going to see what they're playing. And then they're just going to tear it apart.
Yes,
and maybe kill one of them. I don't know.
They love doing that.
Yes, they do. So we love you, Julie Plec, but please don't break our hearts because you didn't tonight, and we loved it. He rose from the ashes. We're so happy, and we're so happy that you guys tuned into tonight's episode of our after show for Legacies. Please, please tune in next week. Where can everyone find you on social media?
You can find me all social media, Cleverly Clad.
And I'm Alexis. You can find me on social media at Madam_Moselle.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. I also do the Shadowhunters After Show on Tuesdays and Riverdale on Wednesdays. I have a type, and it is supernatural weird things. We'll see you next week, guys. Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.